My dear friends, today is a very special day for these folks who are sitting over here. Every first Sunday of Lent is always the rite of election. Normally, we would have the rite of sending today, and then in the evening, the bishop or the archbishop would be here for the rite of election. And because of the weather and people traveling from the different parts of the archdiocese to come here at Immaculate or to the cathedral at Cincinnati, they've canceled the rite of election to make sure that people can be safe. So it's a great loss for them not to be a witness to that great event. However, we, before Mass, had our own private little rite of election and rite of sending put together, and they're in very high spirits just now, because many of them were very deeply moved because they wrote their name in the book of the elect, thus making known to God and to the church their intention to be baptized this Easter. And those who are already baptized and are seeking to be in full communion with the church have given their baptism certificates in this basket as a sign of their intention to give their life over to God. So as I introduce them to the community, please know that we hold you in prayer. In 6 weeks' time, there's going to be a flood in your life just like at Noah's. For some of you, it's going to be the waters of baptism. And for some of you, the grace that comes in confirmation and First Communion. So we hold you up in our hands and offer you to God. We pray that your life will be so flooded with God's grace. In keeping with the preparation for Easter Vigil, particularly for our catechumens and candidates, every Lent the Church invites all of us to look at our own baptism. And so you have themes like water and covenant and God's commitment to us and the invitation to make our covenant with God. And we have first of those stories today that really make us reflect on this theme of our baptism and our commitment to Christ. It's the story of Noah and the ark. To the modern mind, stories like the story of Noah raise many questions. How could God destroy all of the living beings? How is it possible? Is God not the God of compassion? Is God not the God of love? As we ask these questions, we must remember that the book of Genesis is really not an eyewitness account. So nobody was actually, CNN was not there. Neither was Fox News. They would have two completely different stories besides the point. But it's not an eyewitness account. It's a reflection on what may have happened as we reflect on God's involvement with us. Noah's story is being narrated for a far greater purpose than to give us a historical account. On the one hand, it's a story of the destructive power of sin. Sin is terrible. Sin destroys, and you and I know that from our own personal lives. Sin destroys our relationship with God and with others and with our own selves. On the other hand, the more important purpose of Noah's story is to talk about God's first, very operative word today, covenant with humanity. That's the focus. Yes, all living creatures were destroyed, but it led to a covenant that God made with humanity. And God makes a promise with all humanity that not destruction, but salvation will be the final word. In fact, Noah's story sets a pattern for the rest of salvation history. And what's the pattern? God creates, but sin destroys, but then God recreates. And you see that in the life of Jesus. Jesus is the new life, incarnation. But then sin still destroys, but then God recreates by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So this pattern is what we're going to talk about today. So what I hope to do in my 3 points is to make the connection between Noah and Jesus and us. That's what I hope to do. And thus make our Lent even a little more meaningful. So first, the connection between Noah and Jesus and us. From the perspective of biblical history, about 5,000, 6,000 years separate Noah and us from biblical history, from scientific history, God knows, perhaps billions of years. But from biblical history, about 6,000 years. It's a long time. Yet there is an integral connection between Noah and us. And the connection is found in the term covenant. It's an important word for us today, covenant. In fact, the most predominant theme of the Old Testament is the word covenant. The word testament means covenant. Every covenant that God makes, starting with Noah, God will make other covenants. Every covenant that God makes since Noah brings us to the fulfillment of salvation. So the first covenant is with Noah. Then there is a covenant with Moses. Remember the Ten Commandments. And then there is a covenant with David that his house would be forever. There is a covenant with Isaiah that promises us the Messiah. But when push came to shove, a rainbow was not enough to make a covenant for God. The rainbow that God promised Noah was not enough. Eventually, the covenant took the form of a person, Jesus Christ. The covenant was not just something, but the covenant was somebody. And this is the Jesus who in today's gospel reading remained for 40 days in the desert. And Jesus came not to destroy the world through a flood, but he came to save the world through the waters. It was the first covenant that God made with Noah that eventually leads us to Jesus, the Savior of the world. Just as God made a covenant with Noah, folks, God makes a covenant with each one of us personally. So those of us who are baptized, we are a covenanted people. What are we doing here at this Mass? Why are we here at this Eucharist? Because in many ways, every Eucharist is the renewal of our covenant that we make with God and that God makes with us. So this Lent, especially on this first Sunday of Lent, may I suggest as a practical step of this reading from Noah, personalize your baptism. Today, when we were having the rite of sending and the rite of election back in the chapel, many of these folks had tears in their eyes. Because for them, they were entering into this most personal, intimate relationship with God as a community. And I'm praying that when we think of our own baptism, there might be tears in our eyes this Lent. Gosh, what are we doing? We are entering into this covenant with God, this relationship with God, and God is saving us through that covenant in the person of Jesus Christ. So make your baptism your own. I was baptized 49 years back. But for me to make that my own, do that during this Lent. Secondly, I want to talk about a little more as baptism being the connection to the flood, to Jesus and us. Noah's story has another theme that is relevant for us besides covenant. And I want you to hear what Paul says in today's second reading. This is what he says. God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through the water. This prefigured baptism, Paul says, which saves you now. It is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience. So Paul is saying that Noah's flood prefigured baptism, and it is not meant for us to just give us a shower and feel good, but to give us a clear conscience. Our baptism gives us that grace. In other words, our baptism is the connection between Noah and Jesus and us. When Jesus was baptized, the waters of baptism were made holy. And this is crucial for you guys. When Jesus was baptized, the waters of baptism were made holy. So those of you who are going to be baptized, you will be baptized in the same way that Jesus was. And what happens to Jesus will happen to each one of you, and has happened to each one of us. Jesus becomes, there is a voice that comes and says, "This is my beloved son." In baptism, we become the sons and daughters of God. Once water destroyed the earth, now water saves the earth. Once water destroyed the world, now water saves the world. So as we begin this first week in Lent, one of the best thing we can do spiritually is to reflect on our baptism, but then also reflect on the cleansing of our conscience. The waters were meant to cleanse the world of evil. Baptism washes us clean from our sins. And Lent is a time of purification. Purification not in a way that brings us despair, but purification in a way that brings us the hope of the mercy of God. Like Noah and his family, let us keep our lives holy. Let us live out our baptismal promises eagerly. May our Lenten penances help us to cleanse our lives of those things that take us away from holiness. And let us stay committed to our baptismal life this Lent. And thirdly, from the water into the desert. In the Gospel of Mark, from which we read our today's Gospel reading, Jesus was baptized just prior to the passage we read today. In fact, just two verses before the passage we read today about Jesus being driven into the desert is the story of Jesus being baptized, just in two sentences. That John baptized Jesus, and once he's baptized, this is what Mark says. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And then Mark says, and the Spirit drove him into the desert. I find it very interesting that within two verses, we move from the water into the desert. In two verses, we move from the water into the desert. And what does that mean for us? This means that our baptism, just like the baptism of Jesus, has implications. Our baptism is only the beginning of our Christian life. Until we reach eternity, our life is a desert. The desert requires that we stay focused, that we encounter the challenges in the desert with God's word like Jesus did, that we strive to triumph over evil and depend completely on God. So these 40 days of Lent are very special days then. Let us spend these 40 days and perhaps our lives till we reach eternity like Jesus did in the desert. May our Lenten observances be more than about giving up coffee, chocolate, or beer. I was so touched with little Isabel who said, I've given up lying. This little child is teaching us a very important lesson. That calls for deep-rooted conversion. She didn't just give up video games or TV hour or little candy. She said, I'm going to make a difference in my life. I think this is a great lesson for us. May our Lenten observances be more than about giving coffee or chocolates or beer. Rather, may our Lent be a walk with Jesus. May it be a time to evaluate our lives, to make deep-rooted changes. After all, isn't that what God wanted from Noah at the flood and in the ark? From the water to the desert to the table. From the water to the desert to the table. Our baptism prepares us for life, but then life would be empty without the table. So as we begin Lent, let us bring our lives to this altar along with the bread and wine. And may God anoint us like he did Noah. May God renew God's covenant with us that he made with Noah. May God come to us like he came to Jesus. And may we indeed, and or instead, respond to God like Noah did and like Jesus did. May our Lent be holy. People of God said.